We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you today. We do thank the Lord for all of His rich blessings, for it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. We thank Him for His blessings in a temporal way. Also, we thank Him for His blessings in a spiritual way. And we're thankful that we do have the opportunity of sharing the gospel with you today, and we do trust the Lord will make it a real blessing to you.
Once I was
Father, we are truly thankful for all of your rich blessings. We thank you especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the gift of salvation through Him. And we are thankful that we can share the message of salvation with this precious congregation today, for we know that Jesus tasted death for every man, and whosoever will may come. So if there be those listening to our broadcast today who know thee not, we pray the Holy Spirit will visit them and work with hearts that good may be accomplished. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for thy glory. Amen. We would be thankful if you would take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And at the close of our service today, we will be giving you our address. And we would be thankful if you would take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast.
Like a sheep that was lost out in the cold, I had wandered from the safety of the fold. Then as darkness filled the sky, the shepherd heard my feeble cry, and in arms of mercy gently lifted me.
Now I'm one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold, and I know his voice, so follow where he goes. In green pastures I am led, by the good shepherd I am led. I'm just one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold.
In this camp there's rejoicing night
praise
and day, and a stranger's voice these sheep will not obey. There's one shepherd and one fold, and there's peace for the troubled soul. Oh, what joy to be a sheep in the shepherd's fold.
Now I'm one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold, and I know his voice, so I'll follow where he goes. Green pastures I am led, by the good shepherd I am led. I'm just one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold. Are you one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold?
Rejoice.
Do you know his voice? Do you follow where he goes? In green pastures are you led? Are you willing to be led? Are you one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold? I thank God I'm a sheep in the shepherd's fold.
On today's broadcast, we have the privilege of sharing with you a message preached by Brother Marion Trisler, Jr., pastor of the Church of God in Jonesville, Louisiana. We trust as Brother Jr. comes to bring us the message, the Lord will bless him and you, Brother Jr.
Thank you, Brother Alvin, for the invitation of being here today. We really appreciate it, and we trust our listening audience will be blessed today by our efforts. We have a very important message. Now, I said in time past, and I reiterate this morning, that I am not a preacher of doom. I like to preach God's love like most preachers do, because it's so thrilling. But we are living in times that we must be made aware of it more seriously than maybe ever before in our time, in our history. And I'd like to introduce to you Paul's writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to 5, if you will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I would like to use this for title for the thoughts today, The Peril of the Last Days. And this is the last days. The Bible has been speaking of this being the last days ever since the new dispensation began. But we're in the last of the last days. And I'm bringing these scriptures to your mind today to remind you that it's time to take inventory and look at the condition of our country, the most wonderful country in the world, the most affluent country in the world, and a country where you can worship God as you please. But how long that'll be, we don't know. At the rate it's going now, it might be very soon. An atheist came along and had them to take prayer out of school, and now they don't want even the Ten Commandments to be shown publicly and on public property, taking that away from us. So when you start taking those steps and taking other things away, pretty soon God's going to take note. He's going to do something. So it's time for us to look around. Now, I would like to look at one word here in my title, peril. And the word peril means exposure to injury, loss, or destruction. Also, risk, jeopardy, or danger. And the word perilous means full or attended with peril, hazardous, and danger. Now, let us take notice what some of the signs were of these last days and the reasons for perilous times. Reading from verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now, did you hear me read that one verse? Why, children don't respect their parents anymore at all. They sass them, they curse them, they say derogatory things about them, right in their face. No respect. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect anyone else. They don't respect people's property. They don't even take a note that anybody should have some taking care of their things. Not anyone, almost. And another thing here, we have this, not beside disobedient unto parents, unthankful. They're unthankful, unholy. These are some of the perils of the last days. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is so true. As I have said more than one time, if you went to a football game, you would more or less see anywhere from 50 to 110,000 people there. And you can't hardly get 100 out to church service, especially the Church of God services where we preach the truth and preach the doctrine of the Bible, Jesus, what Jesus Christ taught. We preach it and we teach it and we live it. We demonstrate it. So this is a mighty important issue that we need to take note of. But he goes on and says, too, they're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is so true in our day.
Amen.
Just a form of godliness. So what is a form? It's an image of what is the true. It's a duplication, but it's just false. It's not real. And there's so much of it today that I think, in my own opinion, I think this is one of the things that turned so many people away from Christian religion. People preach and teach this and do something else, do opposite. This is going on all over the world, all over the United States. In my own little community, I see it over and over and over. They don't have any respect for Christianity. They live like the devil. They'll go to church on Sunday morning, And then after they leave there, they'll go to the dance halls, they'll go to the gambling joints, they'll go out here and do this and that and the other. And then next Sunday morning, they're just as sanctimonious as they can be. That's not Christianity. Christianity is 24/7. You live it every day. You don't hang it on a coat hanger when you go out Sunday morning or Sunday night and pick it up next Sunday morning. You wear it all the time. It's every day. And having a form, just a form of godliness, but no power, just as weak, powerless as it can be. Let me tell you something, dear heart. This is so important at this time that we take note and get back to the old landmarks where they'll establish you. As I said, you know, there was a time in my life when divorce was unheard of. You never heard of any two people getting a divorce. As a boy, I remember my daddy had a first cousin, and he and his wife was getting a divorce, and that was the talk of the community. I didn't even know what a divorce was. And I was asking questions, and Mother tried to explain it to me. But, you know, today it's common. Everywhere. It's divorce everywhere you look. It's all about us. Every family almost has divorce in it. And also, beside that, we never heard of people, young people just living together. Nowadays, it's common, very common. They go start dating, and first thing you know, they may have two apartments starting out, but the next thing you know, one's moved into the other's apartment, and they're living together just like man and wife. That was never heard of. In fact, the business in a community where we live, perhaps if two people just moved in and started living together, there'd be somebody come by and say, look, you people get married and get out. They tell them that. But it's not so today. It's accepted. And what has caused this? What is causing these kind of things? Let me tell you something. In our dictionary here, it tells us what peril is. Exposure. Overexposure. The place where our moral thinking goes down, we just lost all our moral ability in thinking. And consequently, things don't look as bad as they once did. I've heard it said, and I believe it's so, the closer you get to sin, the less sinful it looks. It don't look as bad. And first thing you know, you're going to go to accepting those things. It's all right. It is not all right. It is not all right.
No,
it's not all right for young boys and girls to start living together like man and wife. It's not. It's destructive. It's tearing down the moral fiber of our thinking and our morality. It's destroying it. And, oh, how sad it is to see these things take place in the time we're living in, because we know this is drifting us further and further away from God. It's harder to get those people out to church because they know what they're going to hear. They're going to hear you don't live together unmarried. You marry. You marry if you live together. And you reproduce. You produce children. And that's the only way it's legal in the sight of God, just to have a child. And that's what a lot of these young girls are doing now. They don't want to get married. They want to have a baby. That's all. No morality. It's gone. Yes, dear hearts. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, because sin abounds, it abounds in the earth. Yes, indeed, the love of many shall wax cold. Yes, when we become indifferent to the laws of God, whenever we become so sinful and indifferent, and it doesn't make any difference what I do, let me tell you something, love is gone. Love is gone. Love grows cold. Yes, indeed. Now, you might ask this morning, what has that to do with us, the church? What has that got to do? Overexposure. As we said, that was one of the definitions in our dictionary on peril. Overexposure. We are living in a time when people think nothing are doing all these things and there's no condemnation. We have been brainwashed from Hollywood, television, newspapers, magazines, ungodliness over and over. Even in advertisement papers, we've been brainwashed. Nudity. All kind of these ungodly things is bringing down the moral fibers of our being, destroying. And they don't think a thing about it anymore. And whenever they hear us as Church of God preachers begin to preach about the difference of it and how it should not be so like that, they're pricked at their conscience and they won't come back. They don't want to hear because they don't want to change. They want to live like that. They have no moral about them. There's no morals about them whatsoever hardly anymore. Very few. Just genuine church people where you'll see morals. Yes, indeed. We see so much sin and ungodliness, we become numb to its effects. We don't even feel it hardly. People don't even feel it. They don't. We no longer hold a high standard, moral standard, as we once did. I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, and I, of course, I'm an 84-year-old man now, but when I was growing up, brother, there was a high moral standard in the community. I saw, as a boy growing up, when a girl began to date, they came and sat, the boy and the girl came and sat on the front porch in a chair, on the front porch. They didn't go out anywhere. They sat right there. And a lot of times they sat in the living parlor. Mother was sitting in there with them, sitting right there with them. They had a high moral standard. And I wish we could get back to some of that today. I wish we could turn back the clock and get back to it and get back to God, get back to the old landmarks. Now let's take, for an example today, Abraham and Lot. When Abraham left Ur, God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees. Ur was an idol-worshipping country. There were all type of idols in that country. But God saw something in Abraham different, and he called him out of Ur and called him to go into a land he knew not where it was going. But he had a nephew named Lot who went with him, and he traveled with his uncle Abram. And he had that uplifting influence of his uncle Abram. That good moral man, that good man God put his approval upon. A man that God could trust. And he was following after his footsteps. But there came a time when the herds got so great that they couldn't stay together. So Abram told Lot, "We be brethren. Let us not have this kind of a problem, this dissension among our people. You go to the right or the left, and I'll take what's left." And Lot looked out over the land, and he saw the well-watered plains of the Jordan. First thing, that's his first mistake, when he began to put his eyes upon material things. And that is what happens to us so many times. We get our eyes and mind upon material things and materialistic things, no matter how we have to get it. It doesn't matter how people have to get it, go about getting it. They'll work selling liquor. They'll work doing this, that, the other, just to get that money, greed. They want more of it. I remember reading something about Rockefeller. The old Rockefeller man asked him one time, said, "Mr. Rockefeller, when has a man got all the money he wants?" And his reply was, "When you get one more dollar." There's never no end of getting all you want in that sense of the living. Let me tell you something. There's something more important than money. There's something more important than things of this life and things of this old world. There is an eternity coming, and we must get our heart right with God to make eternity our home in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, it's important. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that. Even in our government officials, they're leaving God. Oh, they profess, yes. Profess big thing. They profess, but they don't possess. We need people in Washington. We need people in our own communities, leaders that are genuine Christians, that set forth a moral issue before the people that they are Christians. These are perilous times. It's just something to slide by and slide over. We need the genuine thing in our lives. Yes, and Lot chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Oh, he didn't know. He didn't go into Sodom at first. No. You know, people don't just backslide all at once. They don't just leave God away all at once. It's a gradual thing. In most cases, it's just gradual. You drift, 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 drift. And first thing you know, you don't know where you was at. You've lost. You're lost. So Lot cast his tent toward Sodom. And eventually, though, through the overexposure of that ungodly city, a city that God had to destroy. He couldn't stand it any longer. He had to destroy it. It was so ungodly. He was sitting in the gate. In fact, he was a commissioner or something like that, we would call it. He was sitting there in the gate. And then God sent the angels down to destroy her. What happened? Get out, Lot. Get out of here, because God's going to destroy it. Warn your people. Let me tell you something. His children had already taken the ways of the Sodomites. They wouldn't listen to him. It is so true with today. You tell your children something. You tell your friends and your loved ones something. They won't hardly listen to you. They think it's old fogyism. They think it's old out-of-date things. Yes, But let me tell you something. What we need to do is start at the time they come in this world and teaching them about God and carrying them to church and Sunday school and letting them know there is a God and there's going to be a heaven or hell that they're going to. Well, that's what needs to be implanted in their minds. And Lot was taken out by the angels, he and his wife. And she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. He lost all he had. He set his eyes upon the well-watered plains and for his flocks. He lost them. He had a home in Sodom. He lost that. He had children and grandchildren, no doubt, in Sodom. He lost that. He only had two children left. Think about it. He lost everything he had. Perilous times. We got perilous times today. If the call would say, we're going to destroy, look how many would be lost. Look how many don't even know. Yes, dear hearts, we need to get back. We need to get back to the old landmarks. We need to get back where God can establish us and be the center attraction in our lives and our children's lives. A form. It is only a likeness of the real thing. People have a form of God. It's just a likeness of the real thing. The real thing is being saved, fully saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you don't have a form, you have God. Now, I would like to close with this. And it is something I'd like for you to really listen to. And it's found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. May the Lord bless you today, and may that scripture be an imprint upon your mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tristler. Brother Marion Tristler speaking on our broadcast today. Now, if our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Sharing a note with you, Pastor Craig, a few weeks ago, while listening to your program on WKBA in Roanoke, I heard a song that I fell in love with. I only remember a couple of the lines. When I hit the rock bottom, I'm still on the rock. Some man was singing it, or at least the lead part. He was doing a great job and had a great voice. And they have requested a copy of the song, and we trust that as it goes to them, it'll be a blessing. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, and our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We would be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to tune in the station next week when we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Now to God be granted all the praise and glory, for He gave His Son on Calvary to die. The Son gave His life on old Golgotha. Now who is on the Lord's side tonight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, upon the cross there hang our blessed Savior. And the clouds came o'er the sun and hid the sky. But the price for our salvation there He purchased. If unto the words of God you'll draw nigh, Now who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Now who is on the Lord's side?